Well, folks, here we are in December. Absolutely amazing that we made it through this entire year. It seems so fast. And we're so grateful to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us back again week after week, giving us updates, giving us his time. It's just absolutely amazing, their support through all of these Bidenomics things that we've been through and more through the entire earth. You can go to andweknow.com/gold anytime. Reach out to them. They'll be ready to support you any moment. Just reach out to them. And just thankful to have you back. A lot going on. We were just talking earlier before we jumped on board. What do you want to start with?
You know, how you had mentioned Bidenomics. I mean, it's one of the worst economic plans in the history of the world. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
And I mean, they brag about it. I just heard the press secretary 2 days ago blaming Trump. It's like, you know, it's not really good right now, but look what we inherited. We inherited a horrible economy from Trump. It's like, what world is she living in? It's like Trump had a great economy. People were working. Manufacturing was coming back to America, but they got to blame somebody, even though it was almost 4 years ago. They still have to blame somebody else other than themselves, right? But it's like that narrative. People are believing it because I've heard it now 2 times since then. You know, the economy does stink. However, look at what was inherited. It's almost like there's this concerted effort to say the exact same thing and try to brainwash people into thinking that Bidenomics is Trump's fault. It's like, it's just wacky. But here's where it's not. I mean, we all know that it's not. We all know that that's just talking points from the left. But here's how bad Bidenomics really is. And all of this is a function of Fed policy, you know, raising, you know, printing more money to fund every stimulus under the sun, raising interest rates to slow down the inflation that printing money, you know, creates, right? So everything that I'm about to talk about in the banking world, you can blame the Federal Reserve for it, which the Federal Reserve is appointed by in the Biden administration, right? I mean, it's just bad all the way around. So Bank of America, second largest bank in North America. They're not small, right? They're huge. I think they might even be the fifth largest bank in the entire world. So you look at their unrealized losses. So what's an unrealized loss? It would be something that you haven't realized yet. Something that, like, let's say you bought a house, LT, for $500,000. And the market starts to tank, and now your house is worth $400,000. That's an unrealized loss of $100,000 because you haven't sold it yet. You've unrealized that loss. But if you were to sell it, you would have a realized loss of $100,000, right? So unrealized losses at Bank of America reflects all of the stocks, bonds, mutual funds, all the stuff that they own. In 2021, you know, kind of during the height of COVID,
right,
they had $12.9 billion in unrealized losses. Their portfolio was shrinking, right? Then 2022, it's like, look out below, $113.5 billion in unrealized losses.
Right.
So these are annualized, right? So annual losses for 21 was 12.9. For 2022 was 113.5. Now we get to 2023. This is how bad Biden's economy really is. And realize this is just Bank of America, just one bank, right? The first quarter, unrealized losses at Bank of America was $99 billion. Second quarter, $105.8 billion. The third quarter, which just ended the end of September, $131.6 billion. So let's add those up. 131 plus 105 is what? 236 plus 99 is 335. So $335 billion in unrealized losses for the first three quarters of this year. In 2021, the total for the whole year was 12.9. We still have another quarter left, right? So why does this matter, right? This matters because banks right now are undercapitalized. They don't have an awful lot of money. They you know, there's more withdrawals coming out than there are deposits going in. This is how banks fail. So if you've got your portfolio, your unrealized losses at $335 billion for the year. This is just one, the first 9 months.
Right.
And then you've got more withdrawals than you have deposits. The economy stinks. You've got inflationary pressures. You've got interest rates that keep rising, which now people are living at the point of critical mass, right? It's like rates can't go any higher. We have too much debt. We can't afford to pay off the debt that we have now. And if rates go up higher, we're just going to default. We'll have delinquencies on our loans. We'll actually have late payments. We'll default altogether, file for bankruptcy, whatever needs to be done, right? So this is why unrealized losses are so devastating when the banks are undercapitalized and they already don't have a lot of money. Because when you have more withdrawals coming up, they're going to have to sell those assets that are low, and then they realize those losses. This is a major predicament for Bank of America, that they keep losing money hand over fist, and there's no real way to get it back in the short term.
Right. And so then we saw this headline that 64 U.S. bank branches filed to shut down in a single week, right?
Yeah. So this is even worse. So because banks failing, I mean, I'm surprised this is even a headline, because normally a bank failure gets the headline. Branches closing never get headlines. It's not a sizzle story, right? It's like you and your wife could be walking down the street going to, let's say, Starbucks, get your coffee. And then you walk past this bank, let's just call it PNC Bank, that was there. And it's like the next day, it's not. It has cardboard all over the windows. It's like, man, there used to be a bank branch there. Well, guess we'll just have to go to the one down the street. This one closed, right? It's not a big deal when a branch closes. Now, it is a big deal when tons of branches close, right? So last week alone, 64 U.S. bank branches filed to shut down, 64 in 1 week. Let's see, it was PNC Bank had like 19, JP Morgan Chase, 11 states where they had 3 in Ohio, 2 in Connecticut, 2 in South Carolina, and 1 in each of 11 states, 18 filings, right? Citizens Bank and also U.S. Bank both had 6. Bank of America had 5 branches that closed. Citibank closed a couple of branches. It's like you look at this down total altogether, 64 branches closed last week. Now, 1 week doesn't make a trend, right? No.
Right.
What about 3 years? Oh, yeah, 3 years, you can say that there's a trend. So when you look at this ugly trend, let's see, last year, in 2022, we had 958 branches open, you know, new branches open,
right?
But you had 3,012 that closed.
Oh.
So that's 2,054 branches net closures. That's the third year in a row, LT, that net closings exceeded 2,000 branches per year. So you can't blame this on the BRICS nations, right? You can't blame this on just something that just came up in the news. This is 3 years. This is almost the entirety of Biden's administration. This isn't a new thing. This is an economy stinking where more withdrawals are coming out than deposits are going in, because taxes are going up. The cost of borrowing is going up. People are not paying their loans. Jobs are going away, right? It's like, you can't, those numbers speak for themselves, that 3 years in a row, banks failing are 2,000 or more a year. Now, I was on a show the other day. I can't remember who it was. I was on, but basically the influencer, the columnist said, well, isn't that because of central bank digital currency? You know, they're going digital, and so now you don't need all these bricks and mortar banks. So that could be part of it. True. But that would only be over the last 10 months, because a year ago, CBDC wasn't really even a thing.
Right.
Nobody was even talking about it. So how do you account for the 2,000 branches that failed the year before and the 2,000 that failed the year before that? Right. That's just Biden's economy. That has nothing to do with central bank digital currency. Now, CBDCs are going to amplify the bank branches closing. they're going to amplify banks failing. And right. they're going to say that this is a good thing. This is a fix. They're getting rid of the excess in the economy, right? And right. we're going to have complete transaction detail. We're going to have accountability, transparency. We're going to know everything about everybody so we can stop all the nastiness in the world, like the drug trafficking and money laundering and human trafficking and right. everything that goes on. Well, yeah, that's neat. We all want that. We don't want any of that garbage in our world. I don't want people paying for pornography, right? And it's like, if you right. can identify that, that's great. See, those are the messages that they will tell us. Those okay. are the things that we want to stop. And I agree with that. It's like, I want to stop that stuff too, but you don't stop it by just having the bank cut you off from buying or selling if your ideology doesn't match up. Because then you can shut off giving to your church. You can shut off giving to a political party. You can shut off buying gas if they want you to buy EVs. You know, your ideology is your ideology, doesn't match up with theirs.
Okay.
So the best way to shut down sex trafficking, drug trafficking, money laundering is what? It's not government intervention. It's Jesus, right? I mean, that's the only way that you can really do that. Because it's like when you're punishing a kid, right? It's like, well, you know, you're going to get spanked if you do this or whatever, you know, timeout, whatever kind of punishment a family would use. Well, unless there's a heart change in the kid, fear only motivates a little bit. Love motivates a lot of bit. And God's love for us and his wanting us to change from the inside out will create habit change, right? Punishment stops it for a short period of time because you don't want to get in trouble. But your heart never changed. Mm-hmm. Your fear of being punished changed, right? So,
right.
So this is the only way I think that you can actually change the society is through intervention from Jesus, right? And speaking to our hearts. So I was listening this weekend, well, not this weekend, last weekend, to my old youth pastor, Chris Hodges. And so he's with Church of the Highlands, second largest church in America. I think they now have 50,000 people across dozens of campuses. I mean, it's pretty amazing what they've done. But he was my youth pastor growing up. And I learned a ton from him. And I still do. He's one of my spiritual mentors in life. Well, he was speaking on the kind of the rise and fall of countries and what happens. That was his sermon. And it was pretty fascinating. So let me share this quote with you, and that kind of amplifies our need for Jesus, right? So he said, and to add to that, I'm just catching this quote, you know, midstream. And to add to that, the historical reality that all great empires, the Persians, the Trojans, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, and in the later years, the British, all rose and perished within 240 years. They were not conquered by external enemies. They rotted from within. See, all of these great empires, 240 years was the max duration. Right. Well, let's look at the United States. 1776 is when we became a nation. So 1876, 1976, that's 200 years. And then 86, 96, 06, 16. So we're at what? 248 years.
Right.
We've just passed that longest term envelope. We're on the verge, you know, historically of falling. Well, why do they fall? Why is that the longest term? Because people are people. Ultimately, you start, you rise, you grow to prosperity, you have religious freedom, you have political freedom, and then you start to get apathetic and fat and lazy, right? It's like right. pockets are thick, wallets are thick, we're making a lot of money, and you just start to lose your reason, right? That God right. creates everything for you. And you say, I created this. And you become apathetic, you stop voting, everything. This is what happens to every society over time. It takes time, but we're right at that envelope. Well, now, Pastor Chris said one thing after this, too. He said, in 5,000 years of recorded history, there has never been a society that has recovered from the level of moral decay that our country is at now. If we recover, it will be the very first time. So there's always hope. that, right. You know, the but God moment, right? Okay, the economy stinks, but God, right? So he can fix anything. But we're at this point in time where, to me, why do I bring all of this up, this social decay, this moral decay? Because the economics of the world, the financial problems of the world are a reflection of the morality of the world, right? When you use other people's money, you go into debt, borrower is a slave to the lender, you know, conspicuous consumption, however you want to say it, those are unbiblical type things. It's right. Not good to be in debt. It's better to be out of debt because that's ultimate freedom. Right. When you're not in debt and you don't have that debt service, you have more money left at the end of every month that you can do what? You can give. God created us to be givers, right? But when we're shackled with debt, like America is as a nation, well, good grief, we're now at 25% of everything that we bring in as a nation now goes towards interest only payments. Credit cards, the debt on credit cards in America are at over $1 trillion for the first time in history. $1 trillion. Wow. I mean, people are spending money like drunken sailors. And the Biden administration is bragging about it.
Right.
Janet Yellen said, America, good job. I am so glad that you're so resilient and you're spending in the midst of a horrible economy. It's like, wait a second. And LT, you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. That is not something that we should cheer about when people are putting money on credit cards to stimulate the economy. If you or I were spending out of our checkings or our savings account, that's real economic growth because we're not going into debt.
Right.
It's just money. But this is not where we are as a nation. To me, that's a sign of the moral decay that we're in as a nation. And the only way out of that is with Jesus, right? Changing us from the inside out as a nation. Yeah. But when we identify these things, this is where wisdom, discernment, courage, boldness, guidance from Holy Spirit comes in, and we can say, okay, I identify this garbage. I see what's going on, and we can take advantage of it by allocating into strength.
Right.
This is why we talk about silver. This is why we talk about gold. I mean, everything that we just talked about with the inflationary pressures, the debt ceiling stuff, the things that are happening right now, silver's up like literally over 5% in the last 4 days. I mean, we're at over $25 an ounce. The high over the last 12 months is like $26.19. We're literally a buck away from the 12-month high. Once you surpass that like $26.19 level, there's very little resistance to upward movement because you've surpassed the old high. It's like, man, we're so close to that. And this is why every single week we talk about how do you protect? How do you preserve? How do you grow? How do you thrive? How do you minimize your risk?
Right.
To me, it's silver right now. Not always, but right now happens to be silver.
Right. Yeah, it's a great time to move forward in that. I mean, we keep talking about all these things going on. I mean, we were going to even discuss the new home sales down, but everybody's been talking about that for a long time, you know, down 5.6%. It seems like just, you know, the doom and gloom stuff that just keeps being thrown in our face constantly from mainstream media and more. And it's just great to have your thoughts on all of this, especially with the common theme is that your support through this downturn in the economy is essential in making sure that folks are not depending on fiat currency, not running to CBDC. I mean, I've just learned so much from you. It's been absolutely amazing.
Well, the home sales that you just brought up, well, thank you for those kind words, by the way. It's really precious to my heart. Because we just want to make sure that people are listening and your audience responds very well. I mean, we get called nonstop every single day from the end we know world, right? It's awesome, but we're helping a lot of people. But that home sales number that you just shared, 5.6%, that's in October. They came down 5.6%. Mm-hmm. You multiply that out times 12 to get you the annual rate. What's 5.6 times 12? Well, 6 times 12 is 72. We're on average, new home sales are going possibly going to come down 70% over the next 12 months if it stays on this trend. Mm-hmm. That's brutal. I mean, that's just nasty. 5.6 is bad for 1 year, but for 1 month, I mean, the bottom's falling out, LT. The bottom's truly falling out. But do not put your head in the sand. Do not operate out of a state of fear. Do not do nothing about it.
Right.
Because, well, then, yeah, you will sink. The economy will hurt you if you do nothing while it changes. So what do? We change with it, right? We take the, it's almost like taking the opposite spirit. They want a spirit of poverty. We take a spirit of abundance. They want a spirit of fear. We do a spirit of faith, right? And love. That's the opposite fear.
Right.
So when you identify these trends, we can act accordingly, move into that. It's the counter offensive to, you know, what they're wanting for us, which is to control every area of our life. How do they do that? By controlling our spending. This is why I think CBDCs are so incredibly dangerous, because they control every aspect of everything that you give, everything that you spend money on. When they know what you give and spend money on, they know your heart, they know your thoughts, they know your motives, right? Because you will spend money on what you think about.
Right.
So, we don't want that. So this is why even having silver, you know, in tangible silver in your pocket at home that you could use in a worst case scenario for barter, get out of their system, right? Don't be a digital slave in their digital world. Mm-hmm. Have something that you can use to actually thrive and grow and prosper with. And even outside of that worst case scenario, having to use it for barter, it's like, let's hope and pray we never get to that point.
But
outside of that, it's just a really good investment. Look at what it's done. We can't deny the kind of growth where 12 months ago it was 1797. Today it's 25. It's like, man, that's a lot. I mean, when you go from 17 to 25, that's $8, 6, 12, 18. So that's literally almost 40% growth over the last year. That's incredible. Incredible. Nobody would actually complain about that in any market.
That's right.
We've got it in silver. We've got it right now. And that's an awesome thing that we can take advantage of.
Yeah. Amen. So folks, you can go to amweknow.com/gold. You can click on that. You'll be able to reach, there'll be a phone number there. And also you can fill out a form and they'll be able to reach back to you in 24 to 48 hours right after you submit that. And you'll be able to just learn so much about investing in silver, gold, precious metals, IRAs converted over to precious metals and more. And they did that for us. It was quick and it was painless. And now we're enjoying the fruits of that. So thanks once again, Dr. Kirk Elliott. We look forward to another huge update next week.
You got it. See you soon.